A theme for today: how much do we deserve? How much happiness, humanness, insight into our lives, understanding of the ways that we are interconnected? How much burden shall we carry? Effort must we make? How many opportunities shall we consider? How many promises from how many politicians pursue how many offices? How much do we deserve? I stop for a moment in my writing. Franklin Street is busy this afternoon. Cars rushing up the hill as the light changes. Two people are shouting at each other. A crowd appears, carries burning signs. Others are talking about the death of Prince. I stand at my standing desk and watch out the window. A homeless woman shouts up, "Hey, Pastor! Can you help us out today?" How much do we deserve? How much meaning in our work? Pride in our accomplishments? Pleasure in the things that bring us joy? Delight in a meal well prepared, in a Seder that is prayed and sung and ingested and digested? How many questions may we ask and answer? How many candles do we light? Blessings do we offer? How much do we deserve? Each week you and I sit in this room and we contemplate, when we dare to, the evidences of religion which are before us. We face this wheel, this neat-spoked wheel, and allow it to encourage us. At its center, it shows us incompleteness, dissatisfaction, imperfection, impermanence. All life is made of conditional phenomena and experiences which are ultimately unsatisfying. But how much do we deserve? Outside that central hole is an inner rim, which reminds us that when we crave what is pleasurable, when we loathe that which is distasteful, when we attach ourselves expecting permanence to that which is impermanent, we suffer. What do we deserve? The outer rim of the wheel reminds us of the promise that we may cease from suffering as we set ourselves free from our attachment to that which is impermanent. The Buddha, beginning his path toward wisdom, was moved when he observed four startling things. He saw an old man. Gautama, the young prince, was attached to his youth, his vitality, his speed, and he was confronted with an image that showed that youth is impermanent. He saw a sick person. This man in the chariot was troubled that life might include disease and pain and physical suffering. He saw a corpse Siddhartha knew that his life, like every life that ended, was ending even now. An old man, a sick person, a corpse, unimaginable in the privileged life his family had provided for him, the lives and the truths his family had protected him from. Life. Yesterday was a day of creative and positive energy in our parish hall. Leaders of our church were setting up for our opportunity fair, a chance for all of us to put a face on the many projects of this church. Here's an opportunity to connect with the membership team, our religious education program, our peace and justice ministry, our recycling efforts in our bookstore, our finance teams. Here's a place to connect, to serve, to contribute, to lead, to live together, to be a living congregation together, pursuing right livelihood. Right livelihood occupies a middle way in the life of a church like ours. We want to do no harm, or we want to do less harm. And right livelihood means finding ways to be a church that does no harm and requires no violence in its being and becoming. All of We find the completeness and the permanence together for just this moment. How much does this worshiping community deserve of us? How much does this church deserve? Our city, our Baltimore, how much does Baltimore deserve? The anniversary of the death of Frederick Gray Jr., the anniversary of the uprising, and the anniversary of the National Media Spotlight now moved on. How much does Baltimore deserve? I believe from the depths of my soul that Baltimore deserves a strong church. Number 10 West Franklin Street. A vibrant community center at 514 North Charles, an educational and spiritual home in Northwest Hamilton. Baltimore deserves volunteers who serve and lead a diverse community that reaches out through a dialogue on race and ethnicity and hope, that plans a garden in East Baltimore and Jason. Takes the concerns of West Baltimore to Annapolis, stands at City Hall with low-wage people in the fight for 15. Baltimore deserves a community of caring and sharing, of financial support, and generous volunteers who practice right livelihood in the pursuit of justice, equity, compassion. Baltimore deserves a strong First Unitarian. I was awakened early this morning, restless. I heard birds, early birds, outside my window calling, calling, calling to one another and maybe to me. I sat on the front steps, waning gibbous moon above 96% full. Heard an animal rustle in the bushes across the street. Spotted the first iris about to burst into bloom in the sidewalk. Pondered the fading daffodils, the early tulips, even the main blooming tulips that are almost already past. How much do I deserve? Like a moon that fades in her cycle, like a bird that sings and then flies away, like an unknown animal that scurries and a flower shoot and blossom and withering stalk. I see that all life is passing, I know that I can pass. But Sharon Salzberg reminds us that we fall. We don't need self-recrimination or blame or anger. We need a reawakening of our intention and a willingness to recommit to be wholehearted again by prizing heartfulness above faultlessness. We may reap more from our effort because we're more likely to be changed by it. I want just now a reawakening of my intention and a willingness to recommit to the strength and wonder of this congregation, its light, livelihood, and joy, fleeting and deep. What do I deserve right now but a heartful moment of love? May it be so. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Ashe, ashe.